Come now, all you mangy dogs. Swab the decks and hoist the sails. The guns on board be needing some proper manning. Pieces of eight and a fine wench on your arm, if your work be not too shoddy. Careful not to flounder too badly, though, or you may have to dance the hempen jig as we see you to Davy Jones. But Jeffy, my boy, on with the show.
Well, shiver me timbers. To our listeners from across all regions of the planet, welcome once again aboard the Robin Hood, flagship to the world's one and only cooperatively inspired charity podcast network. Live streaming today from under widely sprayed South Korean skies, you've dropped in to an all too unpredictable episode number 58 of Pirate Radio Podcasts. Our 2017 Minds.com's co-founder and friends roundtable. As always, I'm your host and ship's chief communications officer, Jaffe Ryder. Setting out to sea 3 hours ahead of our regular schedule, we're doing things a little differently here today. So different, in fact, we're not even sure if either of our feature guests will be able to join us. Based on the initial third-party reports we'd received, at least half of Minds.com's co-founding team, the one and only Bill Ottman, was good to go, with his father John, for whatever reason, at best a maybe. As things are now, at the moment, Bill has directly informed us there will be some breaking news coming soon, with major network announcements just around the corner. Whether he'll be able to actually make it here today in person, or even manage to call in via a third-party line, has yet to be determined. Hopefully, though, we'll manage to salvage something out of it all, assembling a small, colorful cast of miscellaneous other long-time network personalities. We'll aim to review the multitude of this past year's accomplishments, reflect on where things stand with the network presently, and speculate on what exciting new projects and pathways the future of Minds could very well hold in store. Yes, indeed. It is a bit of a clusterfuck here today with a few wires getting crossed. We're not going to let that hold us down, though, or set the show back in any way. Do whatever we can to make our way out into the bay here today with the Robin Hood. In fact, I think we do have a few people trickling in now. Not sure about the Ottman duo, although apparently Bill has stated via private messaging that he is going to make an effort to drop by. No sign of Satori D to this point, which is unfortunate. On the bright side of things, though, it looks like we do have none other than Minds Gaming up in the crow's nest. So let's just take a look there. Not too sure if he's managed to make his way. It's a bit of a climb. So, Mike, did you manage to actually find your way up into the crow's nest, or did he fall? I'm not sure. He's a bit of a rookie up there, so how's it going?
I found my way up here. I'm holding on tight, but I'm up here.
Ah, you did you? Oh, that's great. So how do things look from your vantage point there, then?
Looks like some clear skies, but I see some clouds a little over there, but I think we'll still steer clear of them there. I'm holding on, man. It's cold.
Well, you always got to make sure you head up there with a little bit of rum in your vest pocket. Keep your blood running warm. Any sign of the Kraken to this point?
No, I don't see any Kraken up here. For sure.
That's good. So, but hey, thanks for dropping in. You've, of course, been a big help and a major player and a hand over on Minds.com, taking a keen interest in the gaming end of things in particular. Why don't you, if you don't mind, maybe tell us a little bit more about your project and your vision, essentially, of how you see things evolving here over the next little while. via your channel and miscellaneous groups and whatnot?
Well, we started the community about, I'd say, a year ago, a little over probably now. I don't know. It seems like an eternity to me. We started off, you know, with about 3 pages and a list of gaming groups and a couple other random groups that, you know, we personally enjoyed, like photography and stuff like that. And then, you know, we got more people interested, and we made a launching area for anybody to add their group so we could kind of get them all into one place. So we've just been building off pretty much members and our own ideas, and we've been forming topics and areas. Now we have over 22 pages of topics, and I don't know how many groups listed on our website. We do a lot of gaming stuff on GamerTube, where you can promote your gaming content or your reviews or your plays and stuff like that. And then we have Gaming Live, where you can talk about anything gaming that you want to, or just chat or look for people interested in playing a game with you. Our community website also has all our, you know, our personal tags on it, like our hashtags that we use for each area, so you can see recently reminded posts and stuff like that.
They're doing really great with the hashtags, aren't they? In fact, to the point where they're making Facebook and Twitter look really silly. Really bad.
Oh.
Really bad.
Yeah.
And that's just in 1 year of open source collaboration. You know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, go ahead.
The hashtag brought everything together. I mean, it brings so much. I just wonder if there would be a point where they try to link it to comments and, you know, stuff like that, which would just be a whole another ballpark.
Yeah. So the booster points, of course, too. Let's not forget that compared to Facebook, I mean, they want you to pay over there, Minds.com. It all comes down to how much you want to engage yourself and participate, whether you're voting up or I think they used to reward you for voting down, although that might have been it's maybe no longer the case, but putting posts out there for people to take a look at that runs through their feeds, and reminding content and all those other sort of good things along those lines, where you're getting those points. It's quite something. And like I was saying to you just in the lead up to us going live here today, I was listening to the show that we did last year. It was, in fact, the premiere episode of Pirate Radio Podcast, where Bill and John joined us. Satori D was there. AWOL Aaron, of course, longtime listeners will remember, was a part of things as well, holding down the, at that time, we thought would maybe he would be a good fit for the chief communications officer position. Things didn't quite work out on that front, though, unfortunately. But, yeah, it's amazing the way how far things have come in just a little more than a year now. So who knows? Bill actually contacted us shortly before the show, stating that there are a lot of, in fact, there's some big news in the works and a lot of major announcements just around the corner. So people have that to look forward to. We've got, it looks like a few, actually a few folks join us here in the live streaming chat area via YouTube. Zeranug and Faceless Troll, hey. Along with a few others. Let's okay, so that's great. Got that on the fly. But anything else that you'd like to add to things as far as, well, do you have any idea as to what these breaking developments might be or what news it is? I'm not sure. You probably don't want to let the cat out of the bag, of course, but what's Bill going on about exactly, do you think?
I mean, I've seen some major improvements in the system in the last few days. I can say that for sure. The new mobile app has some really fun tricks that you can do now.
So right.
That'll be interesting. Other than the, you know, those things, maybe Bitcoin's coming.
A lot of people have complained, actually, about the phone app. I don't have one of these, what I like to refer to as spy phones. I know it's the thing to do for a lot of people. They just can't live without them. I managed to get along fine, just sticking with the old standard 20th century house phone kind of deal, landline. But, yeah, the Bitcoin was once, that was actually a little bit before your time. I don't think you were really a part of the network or the platform at that point. But they had it kind of integrated and worked into things for a while. And then it kind of just quietly fell by the wayside. What can you tell us about that exactly?
You know, I can't really say much to how far they've gotten on Bitcoin. I do know that it is in the mobile app now, where you can go to a user and click to send Bitcoins, and it pops up with a coming soon. It's a very interesting development.
I wonder as well, it'd be nice to see if they're going to be able to structure things so that they're able to accommodate altcoin as well. Myself personally think that would be, I'm sure a few others agree as well, that it would be great to see that being the case. You know, the old saying goes, you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket. Charles Darwin, with the book that he wrote, Origin of Species, I believe in there, one of the conclusions he reached was that in order for a species to survive, it was essential that they not completely rely just on one factor over another. And that, in fact, that the secret to sustenance and evolution was, in fact, diversity. So rather than, do you know what I'm saying? Like, if you just put, basically, if you just rely and focus on one thing entirely, that you could very well, if that comes under attack or in any way is threatened and ultimately destroyed or taken out of the equation, you're screwed. So, yeah. What do you think about Bitcoin then, just briefly, just quickly? Is, you know, it kind of did sort of crash a couple of years ago there, and people have talked about that happening again, perhaps. Yeah,
if I'm not wrong, it's crashed twice. I know a couple of years ago is probably the most recent one, but it seems to go up and down pretty rapidly. I mean, I have a Bitcoin wallet, so I can't knock on it too much, but it doesn't seem to hold well against anything as of right now.
Well, we're just going to have to see how that all plays out and develop here over the long term. So there's a few notes that we managed to put together here in the lead up to today's show. So I'm not sure. You had a few things that you wanted to talk about as well, of course, too. One of the things I was hoping to ask Satori D was how things were going with his Minds panel show. I know it was something that he talked about with our premiere episode last year. That was before, you know, it was even in place or existed. So, you know, this is something that he was hoping to launch and work on getting off the ground. So, any word on that, or have you been following things as far as the Minds panel show?
I am a member in that group. I do follow it. I haven't seen much activity. Maybe there's some background work going on that I don't know about. I know Satori D is pretty active on there, so he might have something brewing in the background, but I haven't seen any recent shows, which I would like to see. I know when we first started there, they were one of our bigger supporters, so I definitely want to get them help any way they can if they need it, but I don't know any direct details.
When you're saying when you first started, you're talking about Infinite Imaginarium?
Yeah, yes, indeed.
Right, yeah. What is, to your understanding, what is Infinite Imaginarium exactly?
I mean, Infinite Imaginary can be anything you want it to be, as far as I'm concerned. Maybe the owner would correct me, but I think it's anything that meets your imagination and your creativity that you want to share with others. And, you know, there can't be a topic for everything. Like, gaming is a topic. You know that there's gaming, but maybe you have an idea that isn't so formed, or you want to expand on a half-formed idea, or maybe you have a brand new idea and you want to share it. I think that's what it's for. It's a great place. I love going into this there.
All right. Well, speaking of Imaginarium and doing anything you want, we've got Mad Dog 780 CA, and the CA, of course, I'd imagine, rather, stands for Canada. Mad Dog is based out of Ontario, as I understand, and in fact is hoping to get his own little podcast off the ground and work on building that up to the point of, you know, it manages to hopefully to pick up a little bit of momentum and gain a little traction in some way. So it's great to have him there in the chat area. So Mad Dog, if you have any questions or comments, things you'd like to ask about via the YouTube live streaming chat, let us know and we'll be happy to field those questions, or hopefully at some point here Bill will be dropping in. Go ahead, Mike.
I was just saying the word you're looking for was oblige.
Oblige.
Yeah, we'll be glad to oblige.
Oh, there you go. Sure, yeah. Yeah, we'd be happy to oblige. That'd be not a problem. Happy to oblige. Oh, we got the captain dropping in, too. Captain Long John Sinclair. Not the right pitch officer, Sinclair. Just kind of watching out over the show. It's a bit of a clusterfuck, like you said, there, right from the start. Things didn't quite work out. Trying to orchestrate things across the major international time zones, and Satori Dean not showing up to this point, although Bill may be popping up at some point, so best of luck to you. Great to see Mike up there in the crow's nest as the co-host for the day, so congratulations to Mike, and we'll be sure to shoot a few pieces of eight your way before too long.
Oh, that sounds great, Captain. I think there you go. So that's what happens. People, they have the courage and intestinal fortitude to actually make their way up into the crow's nest, and the captain is happy to oblige. Yeah, he's it's not a problem in rewarding people for their efforts. That's really the way that we've got things structured. Not that we're Marxists by any means, but Karl Marx himself did have this little axiom whereby, under his vision of, I'm not sure if it was communism exactly or what have you, maybe just his vision of a utopian society, that people would be rewarded in accordance with, how was it now? From each according to their ability, to each according to their needs. The way we've got things structured here, though, on the Robin Hood and via WPRPN.com, is more the idea and principle of from each according to their ability to each according to their contributions or effort, which if you think about it, well, we've thought about it a little bit, and to us it makes the most sense. Any thoughts on that, Mike?
Creating and building are a number one necessity for any society. To create and build and maintain is, you know, something that should definitely be rewarded. No matter what it is, and I think that's a great thing to advocate, do to get, don't just require.
Well, and that's one of the things that Minds.com does with its booster point system. Clearly, it's rewarding people for their efforts and contributions and the way they engage themselves in the network and helping to develop things, the platform and all of its various capacities. And, you know, so, yeah, that's great. The way they've got things structured. You know, Pirate Larry, actually, who we're not sure what happened to him precisely. There's some rumors that he might have people talking about him falling from out of the crow's nest and being swept, caught up in the ocean's undercurrent, or even the stories of a altercation or mini brawl of sorts outside one of the local watering holes. So, then again, there's others that have speculated and talked about him being caught and finding his way down into Davy Jones's locker, and there he be. So who knows? But one of the things that he did say during his time here on board the Robin Hood, and one of the visions that he had was that people should be rewarded not just for their effort and contributions, but also their time. So have some sort of reward system pegged to time, if you can imagine that. So we've looked into actually working on developing an altcoin ourselves here, some sort of pirate coin type deal, and have talked to people out there, experts in the area of
virtual and cryptocurrency. So whether or not that actually manages to materialize here over the next, basically we've given ourselves about a year as far as the window of time to bring things together, you know, make it all happen. That's yet to be seen, of course, but we'll have to just kind of play it by ear. But we've got, yeah, people working with us on that front as well. But yeah, having some reward system pegged to time, what do you think? How practical is that? Could you see that possibly working at all?
Mine's already has the hourly reward system, so it can definitely be done.
It was 100 points, I guess, too, for a while there, wasn't it? Then they kind of got scaled down to now it's around 50 or something, you know, somewhere in that area. Is that how things are kind of, is that where?
It looks like that's where it landed. It's been that way for a little bit. I don't know. You know, I always tell everybody that they love to play with points. You'll see a change in points every now and then. But once they find that the formula they're looking for, I think they're going to stick with it.
Right, right. But here's the thing. What about in the event of more traffic, more people coming on board and getting involved and engaged, you know, more proactive via Minds.com? Wouldn't that somehow then be altered? The hourly reward, wouldn't it fluctuate?
I don't know. It could, but I would think that they would more adjust the boosting parameters, like how much you have to boost or, you know, and to adjust the hourly reward system at this point. I don't know how they're looking at it. But, I mean, I would think that adjusting how much you can boost would be easier than adjusting the whole boosting. You know, hourly rewards.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is interesting. A little bit of breaking news here and high drama regarding the Tesla group here. We're looking forward here in the search engine via Minds, and there's just not much that seems to be coming up. In fact, you know, not naming any names, there were a couple of groups. I guess there was a Tesla group and another, like, was it Tesla Lives or Tesla Reborn or some other group, and some exchanges going on that front, and now suddenly the groups have both been deleted. We can't find any more Tesla groups. That's odd. Do you know anything about that? I know you commented there too, like that's what I was just kind of following up here, so that's strange. Any thoughts?
Well, you know, as I said, we have a community that a lot of the users, they've built the community in their own groups, and a lot of our community groups allow link shares, and some of our community groups owners don't like link shares.
It's back. So it's back. You're right. It's back. Like, that was just bizarre though, because of the you had commented, and I was just following up on that in real time here. But one of the things that we've talked about too, and more or less I think there is a general consensus on it, is somewhat seems to make some sense, is that if you have a group called Minds Gaming, then you know, it's just kind of, it's common sense basically. You don't make someone doesn't come along after you and make another group called Minds Gaming. They can maybe improvise, I suppose, and get creative and you know, try another name. But also I think it's important not to intentionally step on other people's toes. That we can all work together, of course, and that's what community building and networking is all about, is it not? That we, you know, link exchanges. We'll link to your group, you link to ours, and you know, share the love.
Well, I agree in some points and I disagree with others, because, you know, as I said, you have a lot of people that dedicate a lot of time to certain things. So if you take your time to dedicate it and make popular, and you didn't take the time to research if there was another group, I could see where that could click there.
Oh, yeah.
But our community's just standard is, as long as it's not the same exact name, we'll support it. And it's up to the admins of those groups to enforce whether or not they want link shares inside their group. Some do, some don't. You know, like our MindTube group doesn't allow link shares in it because it only allows tubes, and that's it. So if you post a link share in there, it's going to be removed by the admin, and you'll probably be referred to our main launching area saying, hey, you can launch your group in here, but it's not allowed in this group. And I think that's a step that everybody should start taking. And, you know, if you don't want it, that's okay. You know, it's your group and it's your right to do that, but refer them and push them somewhere else that lets them do that. Say, hey, you know, that's not allowed in this group because of whatever reason, maybe you just don't want it. But you can go here and do whatever you want. Post a share and they'll help you out. They'll boost you. They'll remind it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Another thing regarding groups, too, is that, and I don't really want to get into too much detail, but other than just saying there are exploits that do exist, and I'm not sure if you know what I'm talking about. Maybe we can discuss this more to the point off the record, but, you know, for the record, that there are these exploits that do exist and that there is more that really needs to be done. Better structuring and helping to have things in place where the groups can be more effectively managed. There's some groups that are featured where I know I'm, for example, an administrator of, and I can't even figure out what's going on, really, because there's so many people that, like, there's like 1,000 people or something like that in certain groups or more, and they're just the organizational end of things with the, you know, the people that are members, it's not laid out that well at this particular moment, where you can clearly see who the admin are and you can clearly see who the subscribers or members of these groups are and when they joined. That would help too if there was some kind of like sign up or join date, like a timestamp kind of deal.
Yeah. So
any thoughts on the matter of groups and how they can maybe be better organized and structured so that they're, you know, more user-friendly or accessible?
Oh, absolutely. As you said, there are some just basic exploits, and if you do own a group, you may want to be, you know, careful of who you promote an admin inside your areas. Make sure that they have a general trust with you, or maybe even a little more than a general trust with you, but just be aware of promoting admins. First thing, of course, I would recommend is a real admin tree. So a real admin tree is something that gives, you know, ownership and rights to the group, and it lets everybody know who are admins. So you're not just randomly getting deleted posts or anything. You know who manages the group. You know who's in there that has those rights, which seems pretty basic.
Admin tree. Yes. Right. That sounds great. And that's one of the things we're waiting for, isn't it? So,
Oh, yeah.
How difficult would that be to actually get in place, to have up and running? I don't think it would be that. As a coder, I think that would be pretty straightforward, would it not?
I mean, an admin tree is a pretty straightforward thing, but it depends what you want to do with it. And that would be a little more descriptive. For example, like, you know, we want to be able to list what functions each admin has, or if they have full rights to the group, or maybe they can just delete posts or whatever they can do. Maybe they can just boost the group or whatever. So that's one thing to dedicate admin. Another thing would be a public ban list for everybody in the group to see. So if you have maybe, you know, not saying that it can or can't happen, but maybe you have an admin that doesn't like somebody and, you know, they're just banning people from every group that they're in. You can see which admin has banned who. As an owner of that group, you can see admin X banned user da-da-da, you know. So that gives accountability for your admin. So you know what they're doing inside your group, and they're not just going off nonchalantly doing whatever they want. So a ban from post, of course, is very key. Going into your members list, as you said, when you have over 1,000 members, which many of our groups at this point do, especially our core groups have more than this, going into your members and scrolling through that list to ban just one person that's trying to ruin your group, it's a really tedious thing to do. Imagine if you had 5 of them trying. It'd be a bad thing.
Well, the trust factor is huge, as you've, you know, clearly stated. So that's the big issue here, really, and that you've got to be real careful, once again, who you do. When you're allowing someone to become, inviting them to become an administrator, that it shows that you do trust them. And that you're granting them certain privileges or powers within the parameters of the group that you've set up. So there are some people, unfortunately, I mean, it's such a huge network. Even last year when we did the show, Bill stated at that time that there were already 1 million members. So who knows where things are at you know, presently, but do you have any idea as far as that goes?
I have no idea about the how many members it has. I do know that I read an article that it's in the top 10 case sites in the world.
That's so, yeah, John just posted that yesterday, didn't he? That got a lot of traction.
So that's pretty big. That's a big staple for anybody.
Yeah, that's quite a milestone. So way to go. And, you know, a lot of great work has been done by a lot of people on all fronts. You know, yourself being one of the people that has been proven themselves to be a real team player, of course. So, and have the certain visionary quality. Anyone really can, you know, if you work at and open yourself to these things, you're able to kind of see the future in some ways and bring to life and give birth to things that don't, you know, presently exist. So it's a form of magic, I suppose, some people would say. You know, so that's quite something, isn't it? Well, the only one problem I'll say so far that we've had with any of our groups has been the music world, where we were spammed, and it's kind of problematic too. Like, where do you draw the line? What is spam and what is not? It always, you know, pisses me off when on places like Facebook, for example, you got people where if you put like two posts or even three posts, and they consider that spam. But I mean, there's some that'll say like, oh well, two posts, that's, you know, that's spam. So they you know, like, they're really pushing it, of course. But, no, this was ridiculous, this in music world, which is not, it's not, a few of our groups that we've put together, and myself, I've been working here with others in a creative sense and capacity for a while now. This is our third platform, actually, that we've worked on making some real, you know, good things come about. The first project where we got kind of all met up was over on scene.is. That kind of did you hear about that? They had their servers based out of Iceland, actually. You hear about scene.is?
No.
Anyways, that turned out to be kind of a more or less dominated by a Christian sort of gun-toting Bible quoting, you know, right-wing good old boys and girls, which is fine, but the problem was the lack of diversity. That was for me and for the rest of us, I guess, the issue. That was the deal breaker. You know what I'm saying? It takes, like, you know, we're really kind of more the salad sort of, I hate to quote Hillary Clinton, but it takes a, you know, takes a village. But, you know, diversity has its we live in a diverse age and time, of course. So, and everyone, a lot of people, everyone has something to offer, whether you're left wing, right wing, this color, that color, what have you. But, you know, there are some people, of course, that like to remain separate and distinct, which is fine. You know, it's textbook racism or what have you, too. But if that's what they want to do, well, you know, fly at it. Go ahead. And that's one of the great things about Minds.com, too, is that they let you do that. I mean, if you want to be a racist, go ahead. I mean, that's your choice, right? So if you want to be gay, that's your choice, too. Or if you want to be this or that, well, fly at it. You know, people, the furries, you know, they do with the onesies and whatever. It's like, you know, I self-identify as a unicorn. So, okay, well, there you go. Have fun. But no, so scene.is, that was our first kind of my where I kind of all got drawn into all this. One thing led to another, and even this, the whole podcasting business, that came about in a kind of strange way as well. But secondly, then we ended up over an Informed Planet, which I like to now refer to as Uninformed Planet. So did a little blogging there, actually. Add that to the show notes. Maybe people can check out if they want how that all sort of went down. But it was more like a cult-like kind of deal where... And we're really wary of that, this cult of personality thing where everybody is kind of just, you know, worshiping and groveling at the feet of one or two special people. So, you know, that's not good, of course, you know, because, you know, we all have our issues and shortcomings and whatnot. So,
indeed we do.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, I think the secret, though, like, you know, it's important for us to deliver constructive criticism to, you know, one another, too, not to be pricks about it, you know, or too much of an asshole when you, you know, try to, you know, state your point or share what it is that you're trying to get across. But, you know, that's what friends do, right? Friends help friends. And hopefully if, you know, there's, you know what I'm saying, like, there's a skillful way of offering constructive criticism, and then there's a way not to do it, I suppose, is what I'm trying to get at, really. So, but yeah, this Informed Planet thing was just Well, that's the story all in itself. But and that's, we'd already known about Minds.com in the lead up to things, and you know, up around the time where we did get involved and engaged over on Uninformed Planet. And we pulled the plug on that and said, to hell with it. Let's go over to Minds.com, check it out. There'd been a bit of a buzz that was going around. And this is about almost 2 years ago now, believe it or not. So we came on board and launched our creative effort, working to help develop the network and produce these groups, put them together, and you know, encourage people to check them out, add content, and get involved. The hashtag feature came online just actually, I think, a short while after we had first interviewed Bill and John. We were quick to, you know, seize upon that, of course, because that's really powerful. And once again, the hashtag system, I'm not sure if that's the right word exactly or not, but the way they've got things structured with the hashtagging, you know, system on Minds is better than both Facebook and Twitter combined. That's how I see it, man. It's that fucking good. You know, it's better than both Facebook and Twitter combined. Can you believe it? Yeah. So that's, I don't know, that's where things stand with us at the moment here. And it's great. We're having a hoot for sure. It's just unfortunate that we didn't have Satori D join us here today. We're actually experiencing, we got a little bit of a freeze going on here as well, too. We haven't lost our handful of live streaming interactive members here in the YouTube chat area. So Brady Alex has just dropped in. Hey, bonjour, Brady. Je pense que vous êtes français, oui? I speak a little French because, you know, of my Canadian ancestry, I guess.
You could
say. But yeah, Brady, actually, he's been pretty cool. Noticed a lot of he's been very engaged and active over on Minds.com as of late. Have you seen him around at all?
No, I deal with so many people so often. No, I interact with, you know, a handful of people that run my stuff with me.
Alice, you know, W. Really, hey.
Hey, yeah, Alice
shout
W.
Out.
Is,
she's great. Is the girl.
She's great. She's the beast. She's a good core.
She's pretty great. Cool. Pretty cool.
She, yeah,
she's a good woman for sure. She's got a really good heart. Got her shit together.
Yeah, she helps with our website now, so she can edit and update our website for anybody too. So she's doing an outstanding job. I don't know what she did with Outdoors, but she made it huge. I mean, she definitely made that grow like nothing. So you go to that page and it's just tons and tons of everything you want Outdoors. It's crazy. Yeah.
She's recently come on board via WPRPN as well. You too have, I guess, put together a little kind of blog area page via the network domain name that we have over there. So that's good to see. And she's definitely a team player for sure. I just shared with you a link here to Brady Alex via Skype if you want to check that out. So we've actually got Johnny Webb. We have yet to draw that to people's attention. But he's a part of the group here. Just
Brady, sure. Yeah, I know Brady. He's in Supports and Bugs all the time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And I think he's French, too, from the sounds of things. I'm not sure if he's Quebecois or from France itself, but we'll find out more about him here as time goes on. Big pot supporter, I guess, and, you know, big, you know, kind of a weed advocate, as a lot of Minds people tend to be, frankly, so that's great.
420 time, man. Go check out 420 time.
I tell you, and that's one of the things that we're working on doing whatever we can to change here in South Korea. It's ridiculous, man. They're so blind. It's just such hypocrisy, the way they've been dumbed down and indoctrinated here since 1976. When the then dictator, this recently we had his daughter actually was just ousted from power here in South Korea. And I can never remember his name. It's one, it says Pak this or Pak that. It's not Pak you, so you don't have to worry about that. But it's, you know, all these, one of these Paks or another. But he was in touch, I guess, with the then president. I hope it wasn't Carter. I'm thinking it was probably Ford, but 1976. And the reason I'm saying I don't think and I hope it wasn't Carter is because on the surface, at least, he was a, you know, kind of a pro-pot advocate. There had been talk and rumblings of him actually working to do what he could at that time to end Prohibition. That never panned out, of course, but during the course of the Carter administration. So who knows? Politics, eh? Go figure. What happened, I guess, was that the president of the time in America had called the Korean commander in chief and basically struck a deal, quid pro quo, I'd imagine, where it's like, look, Mr. Park, you bring prohibition of this notorious evil weed, bring that into law in your country, and we'll help you out. You scratch our back, we'll scratch yours. So basically what we're left with here now is drowning in a sea of alcohol and this endless supply of pharmaceutical pills. And we know where all that leads, of course, too. So, and they've been so dumbed down with the propaganda via their fascist kind of, corporatized big media. It's just really sad. And the indoctrination system, which they call education here, of course, schooling, they just really do a number it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind. They don't even think about it. They have no idea what the hell's going on. And as far as they're concerned, weed is just some like evil kind of heroin thing, basically. So the irony is that it's an ancient medicinal Asian herb that's been part of Chinese medicine for thousands of years. So, and dude, here's the kicker. North Korea, completely legal. There's not a single law against you smoking weed. A lot of soldiers and farm workers and whatnot, they come home in North Korea after a hard day's work, and apparently that's what they do. They kick back and just kind of get loose and mellow and relax with a little bit of God's good green herb, little Mother Nature there. They roll up and, toke away on. So now here's one of the things, too. It's a little bit off topic for what format of what we're supposed to be doing today, but we had a one-shot Twitter war. We launched a shot over the bow here of the Robin Hood, and scored a direct hit on Seth Rogen, actually, who you'll remember from the interview movie. Well, hey, there you go. One of Hollywood's most notorious pot smokers. He's in, and what does he do? He takes part in this movie where they have him go to North Korea and plan the assassination of the dear leader. I never even watched the damn show. It's a bunch of garbage. But, Kim Jong-un. And there he is in the interrogation room. I saw like a small clip or two. There he is in the interrogation room. What's he doing? He's smoking a cigarette, surrounded by a handful of secret police or military police type officials. And a cigarette, man. I mean, ideally, why could he have not had lent more of a hand and had more to say when it came to the script? For crying out loud, he could have just as easily, sat down with the North Korean dictator and sparked up a fatty, lit a blunt, that's what we like to refer to as doobie diplomacy. So if we can work on promoting that a little more, in fact, we don't see any reason why Pyongyang could not become, the Amsterdam of Asia virtually overnight. There's no law against it. Why not promote pot tourism? We're constantly hearing how they're short on cash, in the news, these official fake news reports, coming. We need money. Our people are starving. Help us. Our economy is faltering. Well, for fuck's sakes, why don't you promote pot tourism, people? Hello? Come on. Get that. And so we're challenging Seth Rogen. And this is what this Twitter war was all about, really. It's a direct challenge to him to, as a way of making amends for his massive blunder there with the interview movie, go into North Korea, put a documentary together regarding the history of marijuana in North Korea and its present legal status, how people supposedly do partake and imbibe and use it to help ease their suffering. At the same time, this is a tyrannical, oppressive regime, too, don't forget, right? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Well, in the South, you get caught with weed, man, and, there's all hell to pay. They'll throw you out of the country. They'll lock you up. They'll do whatever. You get caught, just with anything, man. It's like, holy geez. You can drink all the alcohol you want. You can kill yourself, drinking. That's not a problem. Or taking all the pharmaceuticals you like, but don't you dare touch that evil weed. So how about that, huh? Any thoughts?
I'm now currently smoking a bowl because we've been talking about weed too long.
Contact stone.
John just posted some troll spray.
Oh, did he?
So, John posted some troll spray for the block feature upgrade, apparently.
Okay.
So now blocks transfer to boost. So if you block someone, you don't have to see their boosted post anymore.
Great. Well, there you go. Yeah. You know, we rarely block anyone, frankly, although we do have the bots. No. You've seen the Block the Bot group. People maybe want to hear a little bit more about. Do you know anything about that? You want to talk about it a little bit?
I think Amanda Princess started Block the Bots, if I'm not mistaken. And it's pretty much a group, as it says, to list who you believe or who is a bot or has a bot account so that others can refer to it and block them so they don't deal with that. I think for a while it was pretty active and people were using it pretty well. It's a good resource to have on hand.
Zara Nug chiming in the live streaming YouTube chat area, stating that they can be a pod guide. So not a problem there with Zara Nug. Any idea who this mysterious character is?
Yes.
Zara Nug. They're just offering a few comments there in the live streaming YouTube chat area. So Faceless Troll, Block the Bot on Mines. Yeah, we can share that link with you here in just a second, Troll. So a lot of big social media personalities have been dropping by as of late, too. There was, at the outset, there had been a bit of a buzz that Mines, the whole project, had created. And then, at that time, a lot of big names, including InfoWars and I think Red Ice and, you know, even some of these, like, big major world media outlets like CNN and whatnot had come on board and seemed like they wanted to be a part of things. But then because at that point, the platform really wasn't all that well developed. You didn't really see much activity from them at all. They just sort of dropped out of the picture entirely. They're kind of, it seems like, slowly coming back now, though. Have you noticed that?
I have indeed, and I've been keeping my own eye on that, actually. And, you know, I saw a post from InfoWars not long ago, and I saw somebody from InfoWars join around the same time.
You talking about Paul Joseph Watson?
Miley Weaver.
Oh, yeah, Millie Weaver, sure, yeah. She's a pretty well-known, you know, social media personality, largely affiliated with, I think she's done a lot of work with InfoWars over the past, past couple of years. Sticks and Hammer 666. Oh, you know, we were actually supposed to have an interview with him. We discussed putting something together via YouTube, and as things sometimes tend to be, he just kind of fell out of the picture, unfortunately, so we haven't heard back from him yet. Since then, but there had been some initial discussion as far as those matters were concerned. So who knows? You know, he might get back on board or manage to get back in touch. He's a pretty popular dude, and but we've been kind of watching him and keeping our eye on him for a while. Who's it? Dave Cullen, I guess, is another kind of a network favorite, it seems. Sargon of Akkad, I think. Bill. It was interesting to see Sargon, his kind of rationale was that, Mines.com and Bill and whatnot, we've got, what is it, a million views. And those guys, they took off. They went, like, right through the stratosphere, you know, just right through the roof with the views. Once these big, well-known names, once they make their presence known, everyone seems to just want to kind of dogpile and, hitch their wagon to that, hitch their horse to the wagon or hitch their wagon to the train or whatever, metaphor you want to use. Bill, actually, I guess, was able to do a bit of a, they put an interview together and, which was great. Dave Cullen recently did a Mines tutorial, which was very good, of course. He's very articulate and was able to really kind of break things down and make things quite presentable for people. You know, one of the things I will say, though, just speaking in general terms, not naming any names, you know, people can figure these things out for themselves, but it pisses me off to no ends when these cocksuckers, I love that word, you know, it's the seven dirty words, the seven little words you can't say on TV, you know, George Carlin, right? Shit, piss, fuck, motherfucker, cocksucker, What the fuck? No, then tits. No, I'm missing one. Shit, piss, fuck, motherfucker, cocksucker, and tits. That's only six. I think you get the idea. So what they do, you know, whoever these people are, not naming any names, but if you're doing it, it kind of pisses me off. And I think, like, you got, you know, there's others that don't do it, like well-known, you know, larger kind of social media personalities. And they're more, you know, if you subscribe to them and they take the time to check out your channel, whoever you are, and they think you're okay, they'll do the favor in return. Then you got these others, they've got one subscription. You know what I'm saying? And which is, in this case, it's just mind.com. On Twitter, it's like we have, you know, they have one Twitter subscription. That's it. We're so cool. We're so important that all we need is one. This, it's like a major red flag, frankly. And I'm pissed off, and I'm gonna, you know, there's a few that I've subscribed to, and I'm gonna remove my subscription. I'm not naming any names. Once again, like I said, people can kind of, you know, connect the dots hopefully on their own without too much difficulty. They might think that's completely fine as well too. Some people will. They'll say, oh no, that's great that they do that. That's just wonderful. Like they're, you know, whatever. But yeah, you've noticed these things yourself too, I guess. So. I'm not sure.
I've seen a couple. Yeah. And it's disappointing. At the same time, it's encouraging. You got to think of it from both aspects. It's encouraging for the Minds platform to know that you can grow by yourself like that. That's a great thing. But at the same time, you know, teamwork and building together is essential.
I think what you're saying, maybe partly at least, is that it's good that we have these big personalities and names that are coming on board, and it has been a while, but like I said, some are actually that were initially had signed on and then just totally been absent. They're slowly trickling back into the fray, but you'll agree that it's good like we have them at least, right? Correct?
Yeah.
Even if they've only got one subscription. You know, yeah, they got a lot of subscribers.
You can at least subscribe to me, you know.
I think, well, yeah, sometimes, but it's the ones. It's these guys, it's these people, whether, you know, male, female, what have you. They got one subscription, that's it. It's like, man, it's just so irritating. It's a reflection to me and probably a few other people. This is the level of narcissism or something. Like, what the, really, come on. So, anyways, you know, but hey, you know, decisions. Just kind of scrolling through the show notes here, different talking points. Gab. What is it? IA or AI or something like that? Have you've heard about that other platform and social network information sharing outlet? Are you up to speed on Gab at all? Or
nope, not at all.
I see. It's kind of, it's got, I don't know. Some people have talked about it. Apparently, there's like some sort of waiting list. You have to be invited. And then there's others that have talked about it being sort of like a neo-Nazi hangout or something along those lines. I have no idea. So, and what's up with all these, this Keck this and Keck that and, you know, Kekistan, Trump and, you know, MAGA. I don't, what's going on with the meme kind of thing there with the frog? And I think it's funny as all hell, and the way it triggers all the social justice warriors for some reason, I guess, right? But what's the deal there?
I think that he took over the free speech advocate there, and a lot of people use him as a sign to say that they're for free speech, and you know that they say it in different ways, but ultimately that's what it means overall. You know, it's been a little overused in recent month. I'd love to see something new. I know our app from like last year had a frog of our webpage had a frog on it as the promoting frog or whatever. So I don't know. Love to see a new one, you know.
Well, the memes, there's a lot of creative people out there, of course, and the memes do seem to come, I guess, in cycles more or less. There's recently with this big the big dust up down there in Berkeley over free speech, I guess. It was great to see. It's unfortunate to, well, the fucking cops. I mean, what a joke. You see what happened down there with the cops? Apparently, the free speech advocates, they contacted the local, you know, San Francisco police, I guess is what they are. And the cops told them that, fine, you go ahead and have your protest or rally or whatever it is. Just make sure you're completely disarmed. And we'll be out there to kind of monitor and keep an eye on things. They act you know, in accordance with what, you know, the police, their wishes and what they'd stated. And it comes down to what happens in the end is you find the cops hiding out in their cars, basically in trucks and yeah. vans. Like, oh, shit, we're not going to be part of this. You guys just go at it. Have fun, you know, like, get it on. It's like, clearly we have a major incident here on our hands. So did you follow that at all, or what are your thoughts? Anything at all?
Oh, no, I did follow that one. You know, it's a major issue, and it shows how fragile the United States is right now. We're trying to go to war with other people when we can't even protect our own citizens, is what that is showing. And that's a really bad note for us. It's good to finally see people start standing up for free speech at the same time.
Pushback. Pushback.
Yeah. So it's really encouraging to see that, of course. But at the same time, you know, it shows what the real problem and division really is, and that we could be at the brink of civil war if it gets to that point, or if it gets really bad, it could come, and we're not taking care of our problems here at home, and we're sending bombs over to other countries, and it's just terrible.
Yeah, it's quite something, isn't it? So, and the amount of foreign aid that America gets left on the hook for, bailing out all kinds of countries. Israel seems to be one of the favorites for some reason. The billions of dollars that go over to that Middle Eastern nation. Well, at the same time, you have pictures, on the other hand, of Flint, Michigan, and
right.
Cities such as that are just completely
torn.
Yeah, wallowing in poverty.
To the ground.
Oh, yeah. It's like, wait a minute, what's going on here? Like, to me, it makes no sense. I'm not even American, Canadian expat here living in South Korea, of course. But just from a basic common sense, how could you even question, you know, point of view? It's pure insanity. So there's clearly something is wrong there in a big sort of way. So whether, you know, the present administration under Trump, they managed to get things more in order and do something in addressing issues in that area is that's another matter altogether. I guess there has been some attempt to provide some sort of support or funding for Flint, but we'll see what happens there. Going back to the Berkeley thing, it'd be interesting to know how many of those people that were actually there on the ground, a part of that. Gosh, I'm not even sure. How would you describe that? Some sort of, it was like,
war.
Mini
battle. A battle.
Full-blown brawl kind of, some heavy shit going down there for sure. But it's, I think, in a good way, too, because if that's what it's come to. Well, you know, at the same time, you know, those, what are they called, Antifa? These crazy, I guess you'd say leftists. They seem to be all George Soros supported too, is what, you know, word has it, right? That's where they're getting all their support and funding from, is this goofy multi-billionaire former Nazi youth character who, you know, well, I'm no expert on the matter, according to reports that I've come across, helped, you know, he was very complicit in helping to march Jews and other miscellaneous miscreants and whoever else had been targeted for extermination off to their deaths in these prisoner of war camps. So I hope that wasn't too long-winded for you. You caught what I was saying, basically.
Yeah.
That's kind of how he started his empire, if you look into it, I guess. So, which I have not in an in-depth kind of way, but yeah, so Antifa, and they were doing that all through the whole campaign as well, too, I guess. But it all ties back to Minds.com, of course, and how what they offer via the platform is a safe space for free speech, you know.
And it's funny, because we got in this debate not that long ago, and I love this
we
debate.
We did? I don't remember.
Not me and you. Oh, okay. It's just in general. Like, I made a post, and it was for the launching area, and I said I used the term safe space, and apparently the term safe space now triggers people.
Oh God, oh, what aren't people triggered by? The UK just recently announced, apparently, you know, you got to watch out, dude. It's always, as from a journalistic standpoint, fact check. And yeah, fake news makes sense. So people got to kind of look into these things when they come across reports via the web or any other media source, or just hearing things word of mouth from a friend or what have you. They've got to get to the bottom of things. Any good journalist knows this. You've got to fact check. And you got to be careful having the wool pulled over your eyes, because it happens all too often. And then there's the spin that's involved as well, too. But yeah, trigger warning, safe space. I mean, this is stuff that I really had not been a part of or had heard too much about, frankly, until just this last year, really. And these new terms that just, keep coming along and that we've got to try to get more up to speed on. But safe space, well, what the hell? Social justice warriors. I had no idea what that even meant up until just a short time ago. I guess I'm a little isolated here in South Korea and not really got my finger on the pulse of what's happening out there. That's why we're constantly looking for correspondents, people out there on the ground, whatever part of the planet it is that you're based out of. If you've got updates or stories or news feeds or ideas or events that are breaking and that you'd like the world to know more about, send them our way via WPRPN.com. Let us know. Our email is, we have a few, but I think one that would work for most is pirateoneradio@gmail.com or pirateoneradio@protonmail.com. Mike, I think you've got a Minds Gaming Proton Mail account too, do you not?
Oh, absolutely. Mine's gaming@protonmail.com.
Yeah, as people want to maybe contact you and talk games or, anything more along those lines, what else would you be interested, I guess, Minds network development? Any other ideas?
Yeah, anything community building, I'm pretty interested in. I mean, if you check out our website on mindsonline.club or mindsgaming.com, you can check out and see what we're about and check out our community and what we've built. And maybe you have some new ideas you'd like to bring to the table, or you want to get in contact with somebody. We definitely have all the connections.
Yeah, it seems that way. Quite nicely tied in and plugged in to what we have evolving there over on minds.com. Operation Earth Angel, one of the projects that we've worked on launching here just over the last little while. You, of course, remembered Operation Secret Santa, which we put together over the Christmas season. Did you not join us for one of those shows?
I may have. I'm not positive.
No, I think you did. You did, by God. You had come on board and joined us for a while. We discussed foster homes and foster children, and you spoke to your personal experience. That was a great story. I mean, I think we talked a little bit maybe about things like, Big Brothers and Sisters of America.
But yeah, that was a great group. I was promoting, we promoted a lot of coats and foster homes and helping kids, getting donations of food and clothes, stuff like that. Anything that would help in your local area or maybe larger. We're still building. We're doing the barter rooms now. That's our next mission, is to complete all our barter listings, which are on our website already, but just getting something going with them and trading resources. So if you wanted to trade, Bitcoin for maybe some a piece of artwork that you wanted or something on Mines that you could trade with people in your area. So hopefully we'll get that going pretty soon here.
Yeah, you have the points exchange, I guess, the points exchange groups that have been laid out and pretty much they're all ready to go in their they haven't really been developed to any large extent to this point, but I would imagine they are going to slowly, like as any time you plant a seed in the earth, it may take a little time, but with a little bit of sunlight, water, and tender loving care, it eventually rises from out of the ground and, takes off and sprouts and becomes something, hopefully, what the gardener had intended it would be. So, yeah, the barter groups we have set up that are ready to go on a global basis, really, is the way things look at the moment. So, now, and just if you could explain how that might tie into your point trading system, and even if we want to sponsor people, for example, Raw Rights, who you might have seen a little bit as of late or heard a little bit about as of late. He lives out of Poland, and we're working on trying to help support him a little bit because of his present situation via Operation Earth Angel. He and his wife and young daughter, they're trying to apparently repatriate back to Canada. His daughter supposedly has been hospitalized. She's only 3 years old. And, you know, it's kind of a tough situation where they don't really have a lot to eat, and they're really struggling to get by, make ends meet. The wife, I guess, has a little job. But one of the main kind of issues here, really, is how he can't get back to Canada, and with no help at all coming from the embassy in Poland. In fact, I guess the Canadian ambassador based out of Poland, as it is, blocked him on Twitter. That's how strange things have got. In the face of all this, we see a whole flood of immigrants being brought in, just kind of arms wide open, very liberal open-door policy, mostly people, these Middle Eastern Muslim types, largely. There's others from other regions of the planet, of course, some refugees and others just wanting to kind of get on board and do what they can to make their way on over to Canada. The thing is that each of those families apparently receives thousands of dollars in living allowances each and every month. Well, at the same time, a Canadian citizen such as Ra Wrights, who's essentially stranded in Poland because the economy has gone sour, and he needs to put a little bit of money together, a few thousand dollars, to get him and his wife and daughter back to the Great White North. There's no help coming from the government whatsoever. So, and I think without, as he stated, any mainstream exposure or coverage, there's not really much going to change on that front. We have managed, there's been a bit of a trickle come in. We've got a few hundred dollars we've managed to put together and send his way via PayPal and whatnot. But really a tough situation. So is there any way we can, though, and anything in place now where we can just freely offer points, not for content necessarily, but just give people points directly as a gift?
You can now wire points to users for gifts.
Wire?
I believe, yeah.
Bank accounts, then, that sort of thing.
So you can actually do this with points, money, and soon you can do it with Bitcoin. It looks like right now it's only on the mobile app, so you have to have the mobile app to wire the money.
No desktops. It doesn't work then, a PC or anything like that at all, is what you're saying.
Right, not as of right now. But you can send both points and money without content to users on the Mines app. And soon it looks like Bitcoin is coming. But you have to send it from the app. You can't do it on desktop. You can receive it on desktop if somebody sends it from the app to your account. You do receive it from desktop. You just can't send from desktop right now.
All right. Interesting just to note here how in live time, Brady Alex has reminded Operation Earth Angel. So that's great. It's important for people to not forget about this, too, of course, that the value of reminding content, really important. Not only do you get rewarded for it, of course, but it helps to keep quality content flowing through the network feed. So thank you very much, Brady Alex. Way to go. Hashtag good karma. Is there any way that, have things got to the point now where someone such as myself living abroad in Asia, that I can actually get, you know, I think this only applies to as far as wiring and so forth and bank accounts getting registered and whatnot. It's only set up right now to accommodate people within the United States. Is that not correct?
No, it's not correct anymore. So we're Mines is using Stripe now for monetization. So if you want to send money, receive money, or make money for like exclusive content, if you want to make exclusive content on Mines, you can do that if you are inside the range of Stripe, which is a lot larger base in the U.S. And I'm not sure of your exact geolocation, but yeah, you can check on there if you're available by going to your monetization, and then I'll give you a link to Stripe to check to see if you can do it or not. But it is outside the U.S. Yeah.
Okay, well, I guess we'll have to look into that. I think the last time I saw it, it was not yet available to anyone in Asia, the Middle East, Africa, Europe, you know, but as you say, things may have changed, so we'll have to check back on where things stand with that at the moment. And it's kind of almost like a Google type deal, really, I guess, where they ask for your bank account or PayPal kind of deal with bank account information and contact details and so forth, and just kind of take things from there. What is Stripe, though, exactly? I'm not sure if you really laid that out for listeners, but could you just kind of one more time break down how it works precisely?
So Stripe is just a payment system, just like PayPal is. It's interesting to see that, like, you can use PayPal to buy points. Right now you can't use it to monetize posts, or monetize your account, I should say. But you can use Stripe, which is pretty much the same thing as a PayPal would be. It's just a different service called Stripe, and you have to set up through the Stripe account. And I believe this is due to some international banking laws, maybe, but I'm not sure why PayPal would be able to be used at the same time.
That's interesting. How does it differ? And you'll have to excuse me if I missed out on how you were distinguishing the two exactly, if in fact you had addressed that head on. But Stripe versus PayPal, are you clear on how the two differ from one another?
Other than the code, no. I mean, I know the code for Stripe you can just implement into your system directly. And maybe PayPal makes you go through extra steps to use their code to monetize posts, is all I can think. But I know you can pull the Stripe API and implement it directly into your website. So it would definitely be easier to monetize an open source network on Stripe.
Okay. Just looking at the clock, it looks like we've almost managed to run the gamut here. So big thanks, Minds Gaming. Without you here up in the crow's nest today, I don't think there actually would have even been a show. I just don't find it all that compelling or captivating myself, having to sit here and essentially talk to myself for 90 minutes at a time. So it's always good to have at least one other person on the other end, whether it's a feature guest or what have you. So you really, of course, managed to step up to the plate here today and make a little Minds magic happen. You know, there's a lot of things that we've yet to really address or hit on here. So I think we've managed to cover a lot of ground. Now, one of the issues that we've heard about that really should be addressed, of course, is, and this kind of goes back to the earlier mentioning and referencing of Scene.is, Minds servers are rumored to be based via Amazon, whether it's like some located on an Amazon inside a storage warehouse or some property owned by Amazon. Scene.is, that was one of the big features that people were drawn to, was that with their network, their servers were run out of Iceland, and in doing so, there was a real strict privacy laws in place. So it made it a lot tougher for these hackers and assholes, you know, Fourth Amendment traitors, because that's what they're doing. They're breaking the Fourth Amendment in a very blatant and flagrant way, from the NSA, CIA, what have you. Any of these organizations that are doing this and engaging in these warrantless activities, that's a big issue, and they need to be held to task. So that was one of the reasons why, once again, we saw a lot of people support Scene.is as it emerged. Only got to the point of where there were about 100,000 members, you know, channels in place, users, what have you, on board, and things just seemed to kind of peter out at that point, and I'm not even sure where things stand at the moment with that network. But they did have their servers based out of Iceland. What is the deal then? Have you heard, or do you know, if in fact this is the case, that Mind servers are somehow in under the authorization or within the jurisdiction of and in the possession of even maybe even owned, technically, because of their location by Amazon. Jeff Bezos, I guess, is his name, the CEO. Do you know about this, or have you heard anything along those lines?
I've heard some rumors about it. Use Amazon. I know there was some uploading issues not too long ago where tons and tons of sites went down for uploads because the servers went down. But I know mine isn't solely off Amazon servers, but I know some of the uploads probably are. But everything's HTTPS encrypted. So, end-to-end. So it's not a security issue or an ownership issue because of the certificates that they use for the site are all Creative Commons open source certificates. So it's not an ownership issue at all.
All right. Just quickly going back to social media personalities, one of the people that we've recently seen come on board and get engaged, become a part of things on Minds.com is Tara Babcock, or as some might refer to her, Tara Gagcock, some sort of porn star, I guess, of some kind. I'm not sure if you've seen her around or not. She is very open, though, on her YouTube channels. Just checked a little bit out just yesterday what she had to say. Seems to be a big fan of deep throating, hence the Gagcock reference. But have you checked her out to this point at all? Or she's kind of interesting, actually, from a purely, you know, libertarian standpoint, of course, and bright lady, and very open, very candid, it seems. Any thoughts?
No, I have not talked or kept up with her, but I do have thoughts in the area. Is she on Minds?
Yeah, Tara, we'll share the link here with you. Just maybe we'll add it to the show notes as anything, of course, that we discuss here during our each and every episode that we put together and produce via Pirate Radio podcasts. That's kind of the way we approach things, so we'll add that link. No, she's great, really quite got her
because,
own kind of...
You know, not many people know this, but Minds Gaming has an adult area. So we could definitely use some people to get that moving. And
But there's a Playboy group. There's an erotica group.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of kind of sexy groups. Just to let people know, too, the way they've got things set up there is they've got the explicit content sort of, if you're over 18, you click on the link and you're able to access whatever content is being covered up or hidden. So that's as far as the censorship goes, I guess. A lot of times, too, it's a little bit kind of excessive, I find, that it's really not necessary to have the explicit blurring of certain images, and you click on what's being hidden, and you wonder why was it made explicit in the first place, really. So just a bit of a snafu from time to time, I guess. But
I've noticed that, too, recently. People are getting, more conservative, I think, is the word I'm looking for there with their posting. And it's really a user's call on what they consider explicit, I guess. And I mean, of course, blatant pornography would be explicit content by law, but other than that, it's kind of user based on what they see.
I guess so, yeah. Sometimes as well, too, it seems to kind of kick in for whatever reason. Maybe it's just a little bit of a glitch or a bug in the way things are set up as far as the coding end of things is concerned. So shadow banning, that was one of the issues that goes back to what we were talking about earlier as far as censorship is concerned. What can you say about shadow banning? Do you know much about that at all?
No.
Oh, you've never heard the term?
No.
It's basically just, it's sort of like a quasi-censorship type of way of doing things as far as you're censored within the network, not Minds, at least not to this point.
Are we talking ghost accounts?
Well, no, I don't think so. No. This is like Facebook or Twitter or YouTube where they really kind of restrict the reach that you have. They really throttle. So your reach is...
My reach is worldwide. I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, no, they just kind of behind... they mess with you, basically, behind the scenes. You know, because in Facebook, for example, they expect you to pay for everything. If you want that reach, you're going to pay for it. So, you know, that kind of deal. Just really cutting back on being able to get your content out there for people to see. And let's not forget, too, there's so many times we're not going to do it. We're not ever going to do it. But I guess other channels on YouTube and whatnot, this is the approach they take. They buy views. You know, I guess you can do this for, I'm not sure if you know about this or not, but for like, what, $10, you can get 10,000 views that, you know, basically bots will come in and jack up the number of...
Let's talk about buying points real quick.
Oh, sure.
I 100% support buying points for mine because of the small development team that they have. Those points are directly influencing your upgrades and your updates and what you're getting out of the network. If you don't contribute to the network for them to update stuff and have the time and money to spend on those updates, you know, you can't expect them to do the update. And I feel a lot of people get that.
You're saying then it works in a similar way on Minds as it does on YouTube, the way that people, they don't actually have real people. These are just bots. You're buying views on Minds as well as it is on other platforms like YouTube. I mean, Twitter apparently, even like, you know, a very sizable percentage of what they have.
You don't need to buy points ever on Minds. I don't feel like if you didn't want to, you'd never have to, and you'd get your content promoted just fine. Especially if you're an active user, you could max out your boost every day. I mean, no problem. You can get that promotion. But as someone that is looking to make money on Minds, if you're or someone that's trying to make a career, yeah, at some point you might want to buy some points and promote the network as well as yourself a little more fiercely. And I think people buying points is a lot of the reasons we see these updates happening at this pace, because now we have these viral channels, as we were talking about earlier, that have seemed to pop up in popularity because they've spent the money on buying those points to promote their channel and their content as much as they can, so they gain views very quickly. And outdone some people that have been here for a while because they're paying for the network. But those payments aren't for bot views at all. You know, they're active views. It only counts views that are on the newsfeed that people see.
Well, no, that's an important point to make, too. Absolutely. As compared to, you know, other platforms where Twitter, once again, like there's so much. What is it? Something like, oh God, they have just millions of bots, I guess, you know, and I'm not sure what percentage it is, but a pretty sizable chunk from what I hear. YouTube, same kind of deal, and yeah, buying these phony views. So, but hopefully the way things will be structured on Minds will be a little different, and as you say, they can be genuine people that are having a chance to at least look at the content, see what it is, choose whether to like it or not, and basically just, you know, take things from there as far as whether they want to remind it or ignore it or whatever.
That's the great thing about the new block update, I feel, is that, you know, if you see those boosted posts that you're like, oh, I'm never going to be interested in that, you can just, you don't have to see it again.
Right, you know? Yeah, exactly, yeah. Totally. So, and this kind of ties in a little bit to the ad sharing program, something we haven't hit on yet, but I find, I just heard about just the other day, actually, it kind of came onto our radar here via the Robinhood, and we thought was quite appealing. Could you speak to that a little bit? The ad sharing program, where you can register to, I guess, host ads on your blogs. One of the things that we were thinking was that there could be maybe a checklist. And you could choose, like, well, yeah, like, opt in, opt out. Like, yeah, blog's fine, but on my main channel, no, I don't want ads on my main channel. That kind of deal, you know, or in our groups. Do we really want ads in our groups? As an option, too, if you follow what I'm getting at there. Opting in, opting out. Mike, did we lose you? Well, looks like we still have you here on Skype.
Hello?
Yeah, what, you dropped out there for a second. What happened? Oh. Any idea?
No idea.
Oh, okay.
So, anywho.
Yeah. You heard the question.
Ad sharing. I think ad sharing is great. You can now monetize blogs, and you do get to choose what blogs you want monetized. Every time you post, there's a little money mark next to the blog that says, do you want to monetize? You have to click that to say yes, and then that blog is monetized. So we have a couple monetized blogs on our account. and one talking about ad sharing and how to make money online and the difference between exclusive content and ad sharing. Ad sharing is just revenue you make off your ads. So, for example, if you go to one of ours right now, they're using Google Analytics on there. So I have Alienware 17 recommended to buy online. And if somebody clicks that, that produces revenue to my account. And over time, you can cash that revenue in, which is just a great feature. Or you could also make exclusive content, like if you're one to make a documentary or a movie and you post that and that's an exclusive post, you can mark that with the money symbol, charge people for that post a month. So say $10 a month or $1 a month for my videos, and you can do that as well.
Okay, and just quickly, did you happen to catch the message that I shared with you there in the Skype chat area? I think I also shot you something there via your IM. You don't really have to, it's just a simple yes or no is all we'll need, really, and just so that we're clear on things. But just finally then, really, what do we have coming at us here down the pike? What can we expect? I know we, unfortunately, Bill did not have the opportunity to drop in and join us today. He had, it sounded like he actually was going to be able to make it. Unfortunately, that was not the case. He did at one point as well suggest perhaps rescheduling things. We could maybe look at doing that, maybe booking a show a little further on down the line. But in the meantime, what do you see coming at us here? What can we expect to be emerging? And this is along the lines of what he was talking about, actually, as far as major news or developments. What can we just share with people here as far as maybe a little inside baseball without giving away too much information that is supposed to be kind of kept under our hats at the moment?
I see Bitcoin coming pretty soon. I see trending hashtags in your newsfeed coming back really soon.
That was there, and it was there for a couple of days, and it's just kind of disappeared now, hasn't it? Gone offline again.
Yeah, they had to make a couple of little changes to the coding that they're using for it. I see that coming back, so that'll be fun again. That'll bring a whole new experience to hashtags. The hashtags already work wonderfully, so to have the trending hashtag area is amazing. Bitcoin is amazing. You have the wire functions now, which are great, especially if you're on the go and you just send somebody some money. Nothing like trying to find a Western Union sometimes. No, you can just wire money, people. But yeah, I mean, you have the new label system, the newsfeed and all, and I think we're going to see a lot more new fun stuff, and hopefully we'll see that upcoming soon, get a release from somebody.
Well, thanks so much once again, Minds Gaming. It's great that you managed to step up to the plate here and make this show happen. It's always great to have a co-host and a wingman, someone to we can have up there in the crow's nest. In fact, that reminds me, the doors are wide open here for people that want to submit their resumes or have an interest. Just contact us if you would like to hold down the fort and be a part of things for any upcoming show. Essentially, join us and find yourself up in the crow's nest as a co-host for a show or two. Let us know. Send us an email or private message via Minds, and we can maybe work on making that happen. Thanks once again, of course, too, to all the live streaming folks, people that have been part of things in the YouTube chat area with all your comments. Faceless Troll, Zara Nug. We had Brady Alex there as well, too, and a few other folks to boot. So just any last words there, Mike, before we sign off?
I hope to see some people online tomorrow and some new posts and content. I'm looking forward to it.
Rock on, brother. Thanks once again.
No problem, man. I'm going to hop on some GTA now.
There you go. We'll talk to you again shortly. Happy sailing. There you have it, folks. That's it for episode number 58 of Pirate Radio Podcasts. and our best heroic ad hoc attempt at working to salvage this week's show. Keep in mind, if you're looking for a little more online action, we've likely got another great Rogues Gallery after show coming up next in Skype. Also, if you've in any way enjoyed or found yourself benefiting from the work we've produced over the past year plus, you might want to drop by our new Patreon tip jar page and lend a little support. Since April 1st, we've picked up 2 official patrons and would really love to keep those numbers growing. For the same price as a cup of coffee, you can help keep the Robin Hood sailing smoothly along each month. All it takes is a buck a week for anyone to win access to our regular behind-the-scenes premium Rogues Gallery content. Coming up next Friday night, we have renowned Canadian ufologist Grant Cameron rounding off April's quality jam-packed schedule. If you yourself have an intriguing idea for a guest or story, either drop us a line directly over on WPRPN.com or fire us a quick email via PirateOneRadio@gmail.com. WPRPN network domain links are also now available. Great for artists, musicians, podcasters, bloggers, or pretty much just anyone looking to boost their online visibility and reach, basic accounts can be launched for only $12 a year. Staking your claim now helps not only strengthen you and the network, we're also looking out for the little guy. That's right, folks. Half of all WPRPN's profits are redirected right back into the hands of community charity. After all, we are the Robin Hood. You can further embark on your own pirate journey by liking, subscribing, commenting on, sharing, and following any of our main social media channels via Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Google+, or Minds.com. So don't forget to become engaged. Until we meet again out on the high digital seas, I'm your host as always, the ship's chief communications officer, Jaffe Ryder. Tally-ho.